Blog Talk Radio.
Freedom. I am your host, Leslie Gist, and tonight we have a wonderful guest calling in. Her name is Mrs. Betty Brooks. She'll be on to talk about the Gettysburg Black National Memorabilia Show, which is taking place in Gettysburg, Maryland, outside of Washington, D.C. So as we wait for Mrs. Betty Brooks to call in, I will play another tune. She should be with us momentarily, but I'll tell you that I've been to the Black Memorabilia Show a few times, and it is so educational. It's a lot of fun. And Betty Brooks is here to tell everyone more about the Black Memorabilia Show. Could you introduce yourself to our audience, Mrs. Brooks?
Certainly. Good evening, Leslie. My name is Betty Brooks. I'm talking to Leslie from Maryland, and I am promoting the National Black Memorabilia Show, which is an annual show here in Maryland. It happens to be in Montgomery County, and it is this coming April 21st and 22nd. This show has been in existence for this is our 28th year, celebrating the African-American experience. It's just incredible how many vendors, how many exhibitors are under one roof. It's one building, two floors, and it's more than, I've been going to it for more than 20 years. I've made sure that I have taken my children and my grandchildren for this experience. I've only been a vendor in the last 5 years because my personal collection just took over the house. But I encourage folks not only to come, we always have plenty of adults, but to bring your children. There's nothing like a first-hand knowledge, first-hand up-close and personal experience with some of the legacies that we have, the folks that are still fortunate enough to be with us that look like us and that can tell us about our story in their own words. An example of this is we have the Negro League baseball players, and there is one lady there in there that still comes. Years ago, I got my husband a signed autograph ball from her, Mamie Peanut Johnson from the Indianapolis Clowns. There are the Tuskegee Airmen. Not only do they have an exhibit, but they have two of the Tuskegee Airmen that will be on hand to talk to you, Colonel Charles McGee and Leroy Boots Battle. There are book signings, not only from them, autograph sessions with movie star celebrities, a Malcolm X exhibit, African-American in roller skating exhibit, original Black Panther Party exhibit, traveling Afro-American memorabilia exhibit, Blacks in Hockey, Marcus Garvey exhibit, Madam C.J. Walker exhibit, Buffalo Soldiers exhibit, and there are folks there to talk to you. And there is a wonderful display of the Lest We Forget, the private collection of African slavery artifacts. Those folks are on hand to talk to you. Now, the one thing that Mr. Lindsey Johnson, is a promoter of this show. He's always looking for more and different experiences and folks to come in and share. So this year he has opened up, there'll be verbal appraisals for $5. Bring in your Black memorabilia, something that's been your heirloom, whatever you have. And the donations of that $5 will be given to the Wally H. Bates Legacy Center right here in Annapolis, Maryland. You'll be able to also talk with, because there are the representatives from the Legacy Center, and we also will have on hand Leslie. Now for you, time for you to talk. How did I meet you, and how did you find out about this show?
Well, before we talk about the two of us, let me ask you a question. How did you learn about the Black Memorabilia Show, and what was one of the first profound exhibits you remember seeing that made you want to come back and then want to participate as a vendor?
Okay. Of course, it started off small, and it is the only Black memorabilia show on the East Coast. At that time, of course, years ago, we had exhibitors and buyers coming from around the world. And we still have vendors that are out of state and buyers that come from all four corners. But back then, my main interest has always been paper. That's my history. Paper, 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 the books, the art, that type of thing. So just these knowledgeable individuals that were willing to share the experience up close and personal, it was no longer having bits and pieces of my history written or talked about from someone else. And this experience and the talent, the folks that were there that were willing to share. Because even if you don't buy, the knowledge that you gain just from being there, and these folks are willing to share. Everybody will stop and give you all of the information that you need. I have a vast collection, but my focus is on paper.
Okay. And you're the first young person you brought to the exhibit.
That would have been my own children, my son and daughter. My husband
and
has always accompanied
me. And what was their reaction?
Well, we've always discussed it. This was not new to them, because I can't remember not collecting it. But to see other people with it and to really get to and talk with them, because, like I say, the vendors are just so willing to talk and share their information, their knowledge, and their history of why they are setting up with whatever they collect, how it came to be, and real insight. So they appreciate it not only in the home, but going out and finding other people that appreciate and share, and also finding new items, new things.
Right. What's one of your best finds?
What did you say?
What was one of your best finds that you purchased? You know, something that you still have in your house that your family could recognize.
Okay, that had to be Tuskegee pottery made by the students at Tuskegee.
Wow.
Yes.
I heard about
that. I think that's it, because my maternal grandparents taught at Tuskegee. So that was just one of the reasons, and it is so hard to find it, but that's the most treasured thing, I'd have to say.
Can you give us a little bit more info about your parents and Tuskegee and the pottery? That's exciting to me. I didn't even know. We've been talking for a few years now. I had no clue that your family was a part of Tuskegee Institute.
Well, yeah, but another thing besides them being my maternal grandparents were taught at Tuskegee, the thing that really started to connect us after I met you 2 years ago was the fact that once I got your book, and we're talking about Bordentown, New Jersey, my grandfather was also Dean of Boys at Bordentown, New Jersey. And what I'm finding out with talking with folks like you and Stephen Mark, who was also at the show the same time I met you, and he's done a book on the Underground Railroad and your interest in it and all, our worlds are getting smaller and smaller, and we might wind up actually being related.
I think so. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I really wouldn't. So Tuskegee Institute in Bordentown, school in New Jersey, what do they have in common? And how did your grandfather end up at both of the schools?
The connection there, they've always been educators, okay? But he left Bordentown, and then they were invited to go to Tuskegee Institute to teach for a number of years. Let me just back up a minute, because I don't want to make this about my family, but my grandmother was a suffragette, and those types of things coming from the D.C. area, I remember. I remember her talking about it. I remember the sit-ins and the things that she did. I got to know firsthand Mary McLeod Bethune, Thurgood Marshall, folks like that, because they would come in. My grandmother, before she went to Tuskegee, she was a ghostwriter for the Afro-American newspaper, and I got to file the clippings and things. So these folks just became a part of it, and I was just surrounded by it all the time. So these things were
that
just
is
a
wonderful.
Part of me.
That is so wonderful, Mrs. Brooks. I didn't know, like I said, we talk all the time. I knew there was a connection with Bordentown School, and before we move on to back to the memorabilia show, the Bordentown School was called the Tuskegee of the North. It's in New Jersey, and right now it's a juvenile detention center. And most of the residents in Bordentown don't know the history of that 400-acre campus, which is beautiful. I mean, it takes up both sides of the street. The buildings were built by the students, and there's a lot of them are still standing. They're beautiful buildings. It's unbelievable that it's being used as a juvenile detention center. But getting back to the Black memorabilia show, I think there's a lot of people there, a lot of vendors that have a similar history to you, very proud. And they're sharing their family legacies and the things that they learned about as a child. Would you agree?
I would agree. I remember as a child, my mother had the entire collection of the Paul Lawrence Dunbar books. And back then, there was Negro History Week. We only had a week. And fourth grade, she had me go in. And I went from
I got to interrupt you.
Sure.
They say, the powers that be, that we only had a week. But it sounds like you had a lifetime of Black
history.
Oh,
yeah.
And that you're still living it, and you're still passing it on. And I have to say that what you're teaching me and what you've been teaching the public and what these types of shows teach us is that our history is such a great, victorious history. You know, most times we only hear about our history connected to slavery and the miseries of slavery, but we never talk about how we overcame it.
Right.
And it's people like you and your family that helped us overcome slavery. And this is a story I think we should start focusing on, and not just the shackles. It's great that we have to remember, like the Holocaust. We never, never, ever can forget. And we can't forget as long as we're talking about how we overcame slavery.
Right.
So,
we need to own it. And I'm still finding some African Americans that don't want to talk about it, don't want to bring it up. But I'll have to say the connection is not only from that chance meeting, great chance meeting, when you came to my table, asked for my card, and then, in essence, the rest is history, because our conversations, and then we were talking at church, because I run a Saturday academy once a month, under the adult ministry, but we were talking about the civil rights, no, not the civil rights, I'm sorry, about slavery at that time. That's where we were taking off from, and got to talking with you, and then your book, you sent us enough books so that we, that was our project, was to read the book, and when we finished the book with the other information that we had, and also viewing that Lest We Forget DVD, which those folks are also at the Black Member of the Year show, we decided to do our version of an Underground Railroad quilt. And what makes us so proud is it was not just for the members of my church, John Wesley United Methodist Church in Glen Burnie. It was opened up to our community. We had folks that participated in the making of this quilt from other counties. And also, you are represented in four or five squares on the quilt. And it just, it, this is a continuum. The quilt and what it represents was just the first. But that quilt has been represented in Annapolis last year on a health wellness walk that wound up at Annapolis dock. That's where the slave ships came in. We were asked to bring the quilt down there to display it. It's been at the Black Member Video Show, and it will be back there again this year. And the connection to what we've done, and you inspired us with your book, this year we are doing another, a second quilt, but that's the African American Civil Rights Movement, 1955.
Well, I want to thank you, and I'm truly honored and humbled about what you are doing to include me in your quilt. I mean, there's no words that I can use to express how grateful I am to be a part of your history. And I saw it in person, I took pictures with it, and, you know, it's something that I'm very, very happy to share with my six-year-old. And she'll be down there this weekend to learn more firsthand. So, you know, I can't thank you enough, and it's great. It's great to be a part of your legacy, and hearing more and more about you personally makes it even sweeter. So I thank you for that. And you're going to bring it to the Black Men Revealia show, so it'll be on display again.
It'll be on display, and we have other things that go along with it if people wish to purchase them. But the other thing is, after we read your book, you wound up being in our book that we produced at our church, which is The Stepping Stones of Light. You're in that. Mr. Johnson, the promoter, is in that. Mr. Johnson, after reading it, invited you, as well as some of the other folks that were in there, to be a part of the show. And thank you for coming down and sharing again with us at the show last year, and you were invited back and have accepted to be there this year. So like I said,
yes,
it is a continuum.
I will be there, and you sent most of your church members to my table, and I've practically sold out the first day. So I'm going to try. I'm definitely going to be there Saturday. It's going to be a long ride, but because of all the great work you're doing and the support you've had for me and you continue to do, I have to reciprocate and make that trip. And I'm going to be there for Saturday. I don't know about Sunday, but I'll definitely be there Saturday with some books to sign and just to be there to see you and all the great folks. It's a
and
wonderful,
don't forget
wonderful
your T-shirt.
Yeah,
don't forget your T-shirt.
Still, my printer is working on the T-shirts. I have a few. I don't have as many as I like, but we're working on those T-shirts for you. And if I don't have them, I'll ship you a bunch of T-shirts. You know I will, right?
I know that.
And you can give them out to whoever you like. So who else? I know I met Michelle Cook. She does the photographs, authentic vintage photographs of Black African Americans. In a positive light, beautiful photograph.
Mm-hmm.
I met Mr. And she's been on the show. She's also interviewed people for me. Ash, you remember the sculptor?
Oh, yes, yes.
What is his name? You remember his full name?
No, I apologize. I don't. There's just so many of them. I remember talking to him and seeing his work, but I don't remember.
Yes, he has incredible work. He was one of the first people I posted on my Facebook page, and he has so many thumbs up, and that reminds me, I'm going to have to post his pictures of his sculptures up right now. But
But you also met from the Saturday Academy, and his wife is one of the Besick. Donald Besick was there. He is the only, the best I know, is the only African-American woodturner.
Right.
And he was there with his work. So we're always having firsts there, and hopefully from that show, from the exposure that they get, that they will go on and continue to do the fine work that they are doing.
Now let's talk about your book. How did your book come about? I know you start off with...
Okay, for 2010, I offered to bring in my artifacts and my collection to share with the youth in the church during Negro History Month. But as I started talking to folks, I found out there were other people in the church that did things like Donald Besick with his wood turning, and we have Robert Wood, who is a Black Buffalo soldier, a Black cowboy, and just a number of things. So after the show, after the exhibit, I thought I would just put out a brochure and a pamphlet. But the information and the inquiries as to let's do more, it wound up being a book. And it's called the Stepping Stones of Life book, because it first involves people, meaning our people that we are talking about. Then from there, you form a community, after which you have a church and then members. But it takes the connection, because here in Anne Arundel County in Maryland, where I am, the only Black high school that was available or for Blacks at that time was Bates High School. If you couldn't find a ride or get on a bus, you did not go. That was it. So it starts at the beginning with the people that were in Anne Arundel County, and it starts about forming a community and how they help each other. And from that, you have the churches. And back then, we were in white churches at night. That was our first church, to go at night. They use the facilities during the day. And then you have members. So we start off with the history of the Black community in northern Anne Arundel County and the historical functions of the Black church, the schools in northern Anne Arundel County. Even my husband went to a one-room schoolhouse. And the journey, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we praise people, celebration of lives. There is a story here, inspiration, and we reflect past and present. And there are a lot of things in this book that will make you move forward. So I'll have the book there also. And you're in the book, and Mr. Johnson is in the book. There's so many people, our unsung heroes, because part of the problem was, as long as I've been in the church, which is 45 years, I still didn't know all the people that were sitting in the pews either beside me or around me. And this way, we brought them to life. And
wow,
They're willing now to share their experiences.
That's unbelievable. And how was your church connected to the Underground Railroad?
Now that we don't have as far as the connection with our church.
Okay. But then what inspires your church to get involved with the Underground Railroad?
This was a Saturday Academy that I run through the ministries. We're focusing on bringing people in and working once a month on that Saturday on things that interest them.
Right.
And one thing led to another. We've had all types of classes. Because one of the things that we're working on right now is we're getting ready to do a play in May, Women of Color of the Bible. It's going to be a narrative journey through the Bible as the characters come to life. This is something I've had in the back of my head for a number of years, but we're going to bring it to life. And it took 4 sessions, which is 4 months, for about 18 individuals, mostly our seniors, but to get them involved. We talked and pulled out the characters that we could authenticate as our version of what we believe to be. And now we put it in story form, and that's the way we're going to present it. Because historically, women of color, both named and unnamed, were identified and represented in both the Old and New Testament. The women played an integral role in God's plan of salvation. So we're going to bring them to life so that we will get a better understanding of God's purpose for their existence.
Wow. Okay, so I'm looking forward to seeing the play. Do you think one day they may include some sort of art, a form of art, of plays and things of that nature at the Black Memorabilia show?
I don't know how we could work that in, but that's something that we can talk to Mr. Johnson about when you come down.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to
it. It is a full day, both days, with the 10 to 7 on Saturday, and it is from 10 to 5 on Sunday. Now, if it's okay, why don't I, for the sake of your audience, give them, because they can't absorb everything, give them, they can link to him on the internet at johnsonshows.com. And they'll have all the information, the directions, how to get here, the time, and much more than I have explained.
Great. Well, you did a fascinating job. I hope people will come out. I know last year I met so many children. I met one young man who had just learned about the quilt, the Underground Railroad quilt.
Yes.
And he was so excited that he was part of my interview last year, he and his mother. So I will be there interviewing people right at the show and after the show and all types of things. I can't wait to record it through images and through the Blog Talk Radio show. So I thank you again.
I'm pleased that our adults are bringing more and more children. We've always had the influx of adults, but not enough kids. So I have encouraged, especially, and I've gotten the full support and cooperation from the churches and my church especially. They've supported in whatever we do, but to bring the kids out to see and hear firsthand and get to understand the good and the bad, you know, of what's going on. I took my oldest grandson, who's now 33, when he was about 13, and he got interested in the first day covers. So that is something if one of the youth or stamp collecting, okay? Those are the most reasonable things to get a kid invested in because the show's only once a year. But he now has probably one of the largest collections of first day covers that they are. It was just a challenge.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but I want you to go over. You mentioned a whole bunch of exhibits, but for people, young people who don't know these people, you mentioned Madam C.J. Walker, Marcus Garvey, and because mm-hmm. you and I are so familiar with one another, I should have asked you to explain who these people are for our young listeners. Who is Marcus Garvey? You don't have to give us a whole half-hour explanation, but just a snippet of who he is.
Okay, let me just say, not
if you're not prepared,
off.
That's okay. Marcus Garvey, he was someone who promoted uniting with Africa and selling our goods and having a great relationship, a consumer-like relationship. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
And he had ships and newspapers and, you know, he was really, who could we compare him to today? Marcus Garvey.
Well, that's it. That's why I want the folks to come. We can give all the information in the world. Okay,
right.
And they know that Madam C.J. Walker, okay, she did hair products. That's fine. But come and see the hair product. See the exhibit.
Right.
Okay.
And you know, I interviewed her great-grandfather.
I can tell you about the Buffalo Soldiers. I've actually gone to Colorado and seen at one of the museums, and we have a Buffalo Soldier in our church, which I didn't know for years. You know, but the thing of it is, come and see these people. The first time I have six grandsons, took them all over, took them to the show, and I lost them. I lost them with the Negro League baseball team. When I found them on the second floor, it was like they had been incorporated into another family. These folks just, they welcome the kids, they explain everything, but to see these folks, because, I mean, you know, they're not going to be around. Tuskegee Airmen, okay, we can, you know about them, but to come and actually talk to them, it's not again, hearing it from someone else or reading it in a book, but to actually get to talk to them one-on-one.
Right. Okay, well, again, thank you for coming on the show and promoting the Black Memorabilia Show in the Washington, D.C. area. I'll be there learning, as usual, and interviewing people, sharing these stories of the vendors with you. And stay tuned and listen to the Gist of Freedom next week, and we'll talk soon. Thanks so much.
All right. I'll see you Saturday.
All right. Bye-bye.